The New Orleans Saints at $43. The other side of that, who has the most expensive single game NFL ticket on average?
I might say the Las Vegas Raiders.
Number two at $243 a ticket.
Okay, number one. Well, they have to because they're the, you know, the biggest following of all, the Dallas Cowboys.
Surprisingly, no. $147 per ticket, it ranks ninth in the NFL.
The Chicago Bears.
At your last guess, and the Bears are fifth in the National Football League, $176 per ticket. The top three, number three, Philadelphia, $224 a ticket. Number two, you mentioned the Raiders at $243. Number one, the Detroit Lions have the most expensive average ticket price in the NFL at $254 a ticket, according to SeatGeek.
Is this the secondary market tickets?
I'm telling you, this is via SeatGeek.
Okay.
That's all I can offer up, which is a secondary market.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's what they, I'm assuming that's where they get their info from. But still, $254 a ticket is the most expensive average ticket price in the NFL, according to SeatGeek. I'm surprised by that it's the Detroit Lions.
I'm not really as surprised as, you know, I didn't guess them. So I guess it would be a mild surprise. No, because regular face value tickets for standing room for, I saw the Cleveland Browns game, is like $300 for standing room.
Yep.
Face value.
Sure, I guess I just would have expected like San Francisco to be higher.
Right.
The Raiders to be higher, would have said Philadelphia to be higher, thinking about, you know, the fan base.
Right.
You know, and Vegas is just crazy because it's Vegas. Brand new stadium is beautiful. I would have thought the Rams could be more, not because anybody cares about the Rams, but because people care about who the Rams play. And those people show up.
Right.
I did not. I knew the Lions were going to be expensive. I didn't think they would be the most expensive.
Right.
I would have thought the Cowboys would have been up there too. But I'm surprised that the NFC North is represented with three teams in the top six, with the Packers, the Bears, and the Lions. Ranking, the Lions are one, Bears are five, and the Packers are six.
Bears doesn't surprise me at all, you know.
Well, Chicago, it's a huge market.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Vikings are way down the list. They are 23rd in the league, I believe.
Part of the line, I believe, bucks. I don't have the facts on this completely, but I believe Ford Field's probably one of the smaller stadiums in the league, too.
It is. I would imagine it is because I think it's only 65,000.
Yeah, so that would mean less tickets, so the price would go up.
But it would make sense. Mm-hmm. But just thought it was a kind of interesting little exercise to take a look there at. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. We were talking about Ndamukong Suh's decision to announce his retirement officially from the NFL last week. And I guess thinking, you know, who did you think could still play? Because we were still taking calls. Even last year, we were getting calls from people saying Lions should try to, you know, lure J.J. Watt out of retirement and have him play. And some people would suggest even Ndamukong Suh when he wasn't signed. I mean, they should sign Suh. Just go ahead, bring him in. But who are the players you think could still get it done? And we're looking for players that have retired after the year 2000. You know, so not Barry Sanders, you know, that you thought could still play a couple years after his retirement. We've already kind of ruled out Calvin Johnson as well, because we know that's going to be a big popular name that everybody would say, but we're looking for the other names. Stoney mentioned Dominic Hasek, the goaltender from the Red Wings.
Right, we're not talking about currently.
No, not currently. Just like
when he retired.
Hey, you retire and then, you know, take a year off, and then you thought, you know what, if that guy had come back and played a year after he retired, I bet you could still play.
He actually did in Czechoslovakia for a year and then in the KHL in the country he hates the most, Russia, right now.
And for me, it was Nicholas Lidstrom, who retired at the age of 41, but was still very productive for the Red Wings. He was skating almost 24 minutes a game, which is insane to think that age 41, he's skating that much. And was a plus 21 rating on that team as well. But we're asking the people who they think. 248-539-9797. Mike is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't believe you guys didn't mention Pavel Datsyuk.
Yeah, Yeah, Pavel, I was actually a little surprised when I look back at his numbers. The last year he played in the NHL was 2015-2016, and he played 66 games for the Wings, had 49 points, had 16 goals, and then retired. Remember, there was that whole trade thing that they facilitated to create some cap space, whatever.
Had to get that Dennis Chalovsky.
And he played the next year in the KHL, and he actually played the next 3 years in the five years. In the KHL.
He wanted to leave and go back to his
homeland. Which was always his thing. He wanted to play in Russia. Could he have come back and played in the United States and play in the NHL?
Yes.
He absolutely could have. It's a good one. But
I think Mike Babcock chased his butt out of here. Everybody
probably
hated
didn't help.
Mike Babcock.
No, I know.
Probably didn't help. Thanks for the call, Mike.
What about
this? Do you remember a few years after that they traded
to Phoenix, and Phoenix ended up drafting Chikrin, right. And we got Dennis Chalovsky because they had to clear that money to sign the great Franz Nielsen.
Exactly.
Well, Franz Nielsen wasn't a bad player, but it wasn't what he was.
First year was okay. What about T.O.?
I saw that we weren't stealing somebody's thunder. Somebody had that, but I think dropped off. So Terrell Owens, I went and looked that up. I want to see. So he played last play. He was 37 in 2010 when he last played, and in 14 games he started 11, but he had 72 receptions for 983 yards and 9 touchdowns, and then retired. Could he have still played a couple years later?
Yes.
Yes, I'm convinced. Remember, they had those videos out there?
Yeah.
Like recently, it was a few years ago, I think, where he was running a 40. People said he still ran a 4.3 40 or something?
Yeah.
Crazy. In amazing shape.
Well, you know who could have, actually could have played, should have played, but it wasn't by his own circumstance that he didn't. And no, nobody should go after him now. Time is Colin Kaepernick.
But that's a whole different reason why he wasn't there. To the phones, 248-539-9797. Quinn is in Pontiac. You're next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Quinn.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a guy that, obviously you should take everything you see on social media with a grain of salt, and I'm 26 saying that, so everybody should, but Chad Ochocinco. He is an elite athlete. He's always been an elite athlete. I've seen so many videos recently of him locking up high school wide receivers, college wide receivers. Like Travis Hunter was playing against him, and I know he's playing D-back on that, but still, he's just clearly a stud athlete, and I think that he could go out there and put some numbers up.
So Chad Johnson was 33 when he retired. He played 15 games with the Patriots that year and only started 3. His production fell off dramatically. It was his worst year by far. He had 15 receptions for 276 yards and a touchdown.
They never targeted. How many times did they target him?
They targeted him 32 times and he caught 15 passes. That's a terrible percentage rate, too, less than 50% of the catch rate there. But it's not to say that he couldn't, because he was still, he's only 33. But when
it was just like, I was thinking about T.O. as well. And then, no one wants him, but you could throw Antonio Brown in there, too.
Well, Antonio Brown's thanks for call.
Not now, but.
Nah. He got himself out of the league quickly, mm-hmm. Antonio Brown. That was not a difficult decision for teams to move on at all. I'll give you, somebody has a great one. Let me just look at this one.
I see that one.
This is through Ticket Text, and the name is Andrew Luck from Dan in a Car.
Oh, absolutely.
Andrew Luck, absolutely, you would think could still play. He's only 35. He hasn't played since 2018.
He's the GM of Stanford now, isn't he?
I think he is, yeah. So 2017, he got hurt the shoulder, did not play the whole year, took the year off. Came back and played 2018, threw for 45, almost 4,600 yards, 39 touchdowns that year. His quarterback rating was 98.7. He was fantastic, only 15 interceptions that year. But, playing those years in Indy, wasn't thrilled with it. He was the player of the year the AP Player of the Year, and retired at the age of 29. Can he still play? Maybe. I mean, he's not going to.
Right.
But that's a guy without question, even as much as he can go 2 or 3 years after he retired. Go back to 2021. Could he have played? Yes.
Do you remember that game in the at Ford Field where the Colts came back and beat the Lions? That was a big game.
Yeah, I saw that a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Where being at Ford Field, seeing teams come back and beat the Lions back in the pre-Dan Campbell days. Dan is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I think the obvious tick on this is a guy who only just retired from official hockey but hasn't been in the NHL in a minute, Jaromír Jágr.
Yeah, Jágr, I didn't even know he officially retired because he played this past season as he has with the last five with the Kladno Knights of the Czech League. He played in 39 games. He only had 5 goals. But, yeah, his last NHL game was 2018.
He's 53 years old. He's 53 years old.
I don't want to hear about how ageless Tom Brady is. He's not getting hit.
Right. Well, he still got hit as a quarterback for sure, but he was also protected. But
yeah, but I don't know if they really
hockey players.
Know if they check in the
Czech league. Yeah. I see what you do there. Mm-hmm. Always love Jaromír Jágr as a player. He last played in the NHL in the 2017-18 season with Calgary. Only played 22 games, had 1 goal, 6 assists during that time. Mm-hmm. The previous year played with the Florida Panthers, had 46 points in 82 games. I don't know if he could have played in the NHL, but that was a guy I always loved and wanted the Red Wings. Look, I wanted the Red Wings to draft the guy. I remember following stuff back
right.
then.
Primo, then and they drafted Keith Primo.
It was an amazing draft that year in the NHL, and they shied away from Jágr, I think in large part at the time because Peter Klima,
correct,
as a Czech player, did not have things did not work out well for the Red Wings with Peter Klima and the Goose Looney's thing and all that, and he ends up getting moved as he was part of that, and I think they shied away from drafting Jágr. Now they were enticed by the size of Keith Primo,
right? They had the third pick of the draft. And obviously, Jágr was the best of the first five.
Well, yes, but Owen Nolan was really good.
Nedved was good, then Primo, and then Mike Ricci was fourth.
Well, the best player of the bunch would have been Jágr. Martin Brodeur, who was later on in that draft.
Oh, wow. Keith Tkachuk was drafted then.
Yeah, it's an amazing draft. If you go and look at that one, it's a crazy good draft. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number.
Our boy Smoke, Brian Smolinski, Michigan State, too.
We will continue to take your calls and texts right here on 97.1, The Ticket. I want to get through a couple more of these on the ticket text. Luke Kuechly, I absolutely think that he had more gas in the tank. That's Jordan at work. Yeah, a lot of concussion issues.
Yeah, Patrick Willis, too. Go back to what, Chris Borland?
Yeah, a lot of those guys just decided they
didn't want to take a chance.
They didn't want to take a chance because of it. Without a doubt, because of their age, you said, well, sure. But, Kuechly was, God, he was such a great linebacker, but he was devastated when he made the decision that he had to retire. I bet Ichiro could have come back. That's from Chris and Troy. Let me say this. Ichiro Suzuki was one of my all-time favorite players. I loved Ichiro. The answer is no. The last 5 years of his career, he just wasn't anywhere near what he was.
Wasn't Ichiro.
No, he wasn't. I mean, you go from 1 year in 2012 when he played split time with Seattle and the Yankees. He played all 162 games that year. Hit .283, but his OPS started to drop. He was at .696 in OPS. The year before, he was at .645 OPS. Prior to that, it had always been in the 700-800 range. But then things went way downhill. .639 OPS, .561 OPS 1 year. Then he finished the last 2 years of his career. He was in Seattle, back in Seattle, and he only played 17 games in 2 years. He was done. His body had broken down. He was done. I love that guy. He was also 45 years old
right
when he finished up. But he held on long enough to get the 3,000 hits in at the Major League Baseball level. You know, what he had done at the international level, you know, tack on another whatever it is, another 1,500 hits. He was incredible as a player. But the reason he stayed on playing as long as he did, I think, was just to get to 3,000 hits. And he ended up with 3,089 hits with a .311 career batting average. I loved Ichiro. God, that guy was great. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to Texas as well, if you'd like to have your voice heard that way. We had talked earlier about the Detroit Lions and whether or not they should go after Von Miller. Apparently, Von Miller has got three teams that are really interested in him. At least that's what his agent told. Was Brian Baldinger, we told?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to speculate who those three teams might be. You did some digging. It doesn't look like the Lions are one of them, and I'm fine with them not being one of those teams.
It appears like the Ravens, the Chargers lose Bosa, and the Eagles, who lost Josh Sweat.
So I'm in the camp that I'd rather have Za'Darius Smith at this point. Healthy, ready to go, and let's see how he plays in the opposite end of Aiden Hutchinson. I still think this is a move that can and I think does get done. I'm not shooting the boot guaranteeing it. It's just something I feel will get done because I don't think they can be all that far apart. And at this point, you're just giving a guy a one-year contract, so it's nothing to worry about in years down the road and how it affects the salary cap. They've got tons of cap space right now. They can make something happen. Some ticket text on this. Neither Smith or Miller would start over Davenport. Smith played roughly 400 snaps as a Lion, and only 83 of them were on rundown snaps. I don't care who starts.
Right.
All I care about is the production you get from the player. That's why I have no issue if
Davenport stays healthy, he should be really good.
If Davenport can stay healthy, then questions are answered because I think Marcus Davenport can play football if he stays healthy. He's never been able to stay healthy.
Right.
That's the problem. But if I'm signing a guy just to be a pass rusher, I don't care. Just go rush the passer. Isn't that important?
Yes.
If he can't stop the run, then I don't play him on rundowns. I don't care. Throw him on a third down.
Right.
It's like having a special teams player, right? They only come in on special teams or emergency.
You got to have a good quarterback. You got to protect that quarterback, and you got to get the other team's quarterback. And if Von Miller or Za'Darius Smith, whoever, can help them get to the quarterback better than what they have, then you sign the guy.
Von Miller has domestic violence accusations that he was suspended for. That's not the Lions' type of player.
Okay, that's possible.
It is true, that's not the Lions' type of player. Za'Darius Smith is a nobody. Why do you guys constantly bring him up? Signing him would mean nothing. He's not a nobody.
No, he's not great, but we saw him excel with Cleveland when paired with Myles Garrett. We'd love to see what he looks like paired with Aiden Hutchinson. But if he has to be your best edge rusher, your best guy to get to the quarterback, no, he's not the guy.
Look, he's a guy who has had multiple double-digit sack totals in a single season in his career. Three of them, in fact. When he played with Cleveland and Detroit last year, between the two teams, he had 9 sacks last year.
That's pretty good.
How is that? I mean, that doesn't suck. That's good, actually.
No. I mean, he's right about he doesn't play against the run.
I don't need him to play against the run.
I know. I get it.
Sorry, I'm not yelling at you. I know. I'm yelling at the concept that bothers me. But I guess to defend the concept, it's that's what the Lions look for. Mm-hmm. Lions love the versatility, having guys that can move from defensive end to defensive tackle. They like the guys that can play a defensive end, that they can, you know, have the linebacker capabilities and drop back into coverage. And they want guys to do everything. Not every player on the roster has to be like that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with having a specialist if that specialty is a real strength. If Houston were to have worked out, he would have been great to be that pass rusher. He broke his leg and was never the same.
None.
And it's
then he
too bad.
In his pants.
Maybe, maybe not. And it was really too bad because James Houston, that rookie season, when he finally got a chance to play, they unleashed him, and he was fantastic for this team in that role. I don't care if it's a one-trick pony. If that one trick is great, take it all day long.
Exactly.
It takes up a roster spot, but the most important thing, one of the most important things you need on the defense is the ability to rush the passer. So find a guy that can do that, and Za'Darius Smith can rush a passer. Will they end up signing him? We'll see. We'll see what happens over the next few weeks. But I do think there will be plenty of movement in the NFL with players and leading up to the first preseason games, perhaps. You know, so they have a couple weeks before that happens for the Lions. But I do think that they've got an opportunity if they want to take it and sign Za'Darius Smith. Again, it would be like a one-year deal. You might even be able to get him for cheaper than what you paid him last year when you save money by dropping him. It's crazy how this all works out. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text us as well. All right, so tonight we got the All-Star game. And we have six Detroit Tigers that have made the All-Star game, plus
the bat
boy. An adult bat boy, as you like to say.
Batman, he should be.
He is Batman. Mm-hmm. That's true. Though not Stephen Batman Holman, who was running back with Michigan State back in the day.
Wow. He had a lot of hype, and he just never...
Didn't really play much because other running backs were there at the same time that were really good. But nonetheless, six players in this All-Star game. I love that. As a baseball fan and as a kid growing up, I love the All-Star game. I wanted to see the bright white Detroit Tigers jersey with the old English D, and you got to see your guys wear that when, you know, back then it was, you know, different players, Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker, Lance Parrish were the perennial All-Stars. But now they have six, the most of any team in baseball, and we've got three that are starting in this game. We'll see them early, hitting second and third with Torres and Riley Green. Mm-hmm. And then Javi Baez, I think, is hitting eighth in the lineup.
Correct.
Tarik Skubal is starting this game.
He'll pitch one inning, probably.
So we've got four starters in this game. This is awesome. I can't wait to see this tonight. And I mentioned that the players get to wear their jerseys, mm-hmm. As opposed to the American or National League jerseys. I love that they're going back to this.
Me too. It's great. I mean, when you were a kid, even if your team sucked and you only got one guy in, when they did the introductions and your guy, whether it was Damien Easley for that one year or whoever, when he, you know, tipped his hat wearing the old English D, you felt great.
You felt like he was tipping it directly to you,
exactly.
The fan, saying thank you, appreciate it. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Are you looking forward to the All-Star game tonight? We'll talk about it next year. 97 won the ticket. So we got All-Star action tonight. We had the Derby last night. That was actually pretty fun to watch. Probably the most enjoyable Derby I've seen in many years. Lots of the young contestants made it cool to see the future of baseball. It's in good hands. Cal Raleigh, the whole thing with he and his family out there, his dad pitching to him, his brother was catching, and then he just really took it to another level when he got into the second level, into the championship level. He was great.
The big dumper went top shelf.
Yeah, we'll get into the big dumper in just a little bit. He went upper deck. That's a whole mess. You don't want big dumper going top upper deck. That's real trouble. But the Derby was a good start to the whole All-Star festivities. I never really watched the softball game they have because that's just, you know, the bases.
I forgot to ask you because you probably did. I did not watch the Futures game.
It was on Saturday. I totally forgot about it. And then I saw on Twitter what was going on and I made sure that I checked some things out. But yeah, Briseño hit a triple. And I think, I want to say Max Clark got on base. Mm-hmm. I think he had a hit. And I believe that McGonagall went hitless. But well represented with the three guys who are now playing at Double A, the triumvirate of prospects for the Tigers. So looking forward to see them get back into action. But the All-Star game is tonight. We mentioned there's six Detroit Tigers that are in the game. Four will be starting when you include Tarek Skubal on the Hill, which is really cool. Very much looking forward to that. Skubal pitching, I guess I'm getting, you know, Verlander vibes again with Verlander when he was so good for so many years and got a chance to pitch in the All-Star game. But I'm not sure if we here in Detroit are appreciating Skubal enough for how good he has been over the last 2 years. And maybe it's because we were spoiled by having Verlander for so long and Scherzer for a few years and how good he was, but not realizing that Skubal's been better. You know, he doesn't have the no-hitters that Verlander does. But Skubal's numbers are actually better than Verlander's numbers. And he is anchoring this team. Now, that Tiger team that Verlander played on had some big names on those teams. The names on this team, though they're chock full of all-stars right now, it's not like McKinstry and others on this team are Gleyber Torres. They're not like household names necessarily. We're finally starting to get some other, like we're seeing Riley Green back in the game for his second go-around, which is great. But I just think it's really cool to see what this team is capable. And now we're going to see these guys playing in the All-Star game tonight and getting ready to usher in the second half of the season.
Yeah, look, Green will probably be an All-Star for years to come. Javi, we don't know how many years he has left.
Right.
So enjoy this, okay? Same thing with McKinstry. You have no idea whether we'll ever see him in the All-Star game, whether he'll even have a first half of a season.
I will make a prediction.
Okay.
We will not see Zach McKinstry in another All-Star game.
I think that's fair.
I hope we do, yeah, but I just don't expect to see it.
I don't think so either. You know, Torres, you might see in an All-Star game. There's no guarantee he's going to be wearing the Tigers uniform. Tea,
yeah.
You know? So, yeah, this may be a very rare Skubal. I mean, we've talked about that at the station till we're blue in the face. So you might see Riley Green is the only guy who's going to make multiple All-Star games as a Detroit Tiger from this point forward.
Well, and we'll see what the Tigers decide to do with, because there's three players. They got Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, and Kerry Carpenter are all free agents, I think, in 2029. That's three players. And that's still a few years away, which is fine. They got three more years after this year that they're Tigers, and it's up to them if they want to sign them to extensions. But that is an issue moving forward that they're going to have to address, and we'll see if they do address that. But looking at the second half of the season, I know it's not literally the second half. It's just the post-All-Star break part of the season, post-All-Star game part of the season. Is there one player in particular that you think has to step up their game more than anybody else? Like, who has to have the biggest impact in the second half of the season here for the Tigers to give you more confidence that they're going to be this team to be reckoned with in the playoffs? And, you know, taking the easy button away and say whoever they trade for, let's forget that.
Okay.
Like a player that's currently on the roster right now.
So David Bednar would not.
Right, because I think we both expect that they're going to make some moves to this team to improve the roster. But a guy who's on the roster right now.
Who I expect to or who needs to?
Who needs to. And if you can answer it both ways, great. But okay. Just who do you think needs to?
The guy who needs to is Parker Meadows. I mean, he's an elite defender. He's got great speed. But if his hitting doesn't pick up and he ends up going to where we thought, you know, we talked about yesterday, going to Toledo, it doesn't help them. If he could be close to what he was the second half of last season, that's awesome.
Parker Meadows is a great answer. And if I'm going to find another play outside of Parker Meadows, I'm going to look at a starting pitcher. And I'm going to say Jack Flaherty. Because I expect that Casey Mize is still going to be good in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
No problems with Skubal. I'm knocking on wood, these guys do what they do. And Reese Olson is fine. But Jack Flaherty is a guy that you're paying to be good. You're paying him to be your number two. And there are signs that he's kind of coming out of this funk that he started the season in.
Right.
But you know, you want to see multiple games where he's gone six innings and given up one earned run or less in those games. You want to see him get on a little bit of a stretch like that and then get into a rhythm of, oh, he went six innings, gave up two runs or whatever. I want to see Jack Flaherty be that guy, be that unquestioned number two starter, that you're paying him to be the number two starter, and he's going to be. But 248-539-9797 is the telephone number, or the same number to text as well. Who's the player that you think needs to have the biggest impact in the second half for the Detroit Tigers? Stoney says Parker Meadows. I think it's a great answer. I say Jack Flaherty. He's got to be the number two guy. Maybe you say somebody different. You can agree. Whatever. We'd love to hear from you at 248-539-9797. Also, when you mention the Big Dumper and Cal Raleigh, that nickname is spectacular.
Yep.
Absolutely spectacular. And we were kicking around this idea before the show, and I thought, I don't know who it was. It was Kang or if it was you that made this observation. Do women have kind of off-the-wall nicknames? Like, I mean, Big Dumper is going to be one that maybe we're going to have. But, like, guys get nicknames all the time.
Oh, yes.
You've got a nickname, Stoney. It's right. It's easy.
Right.
I've got a nickname, Gator, which right. comes from a weird story with being a professional wrestling fan. Before that, my nickname was Otis.
Right.
You know, I've
had people call me Stanley.
Right. You have some Bert Sugar, may he rest in peace.
Yes.
Called you Stanley one time during an interview, which was great.
Girls don't have nicknames.
Not typically, no, right?
Unless we might have nicknames for them.
Maybe. I mean,
they're not likely. They're not usually good. I mean, there was a group of girls that we were friendly with in college that, you know, they were good.
Are you allowed to say any of these?
I'm allowed to say it. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to get, speaking of Big Dumper, I'm not going to get dumped for this.
All right.
I'm not breaking any FCC rules.
Okay.
But they weren't the, as my father would say, they weren't lookers. We called their house where they lived, the four of them, the Bay of Pigs.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but they were our friends. They didn't know it.
They're your friends.
Yes, and one of them was McGilla Gorilla, we called her.
Wow. Hey. I don't know if these are considered nicknames.
I
think it's just straight up.
That's just mean.
Yeah, I think it's just mean.
Yeah, I think it's just, that's just being mean. Yeah.
Name calling?
No. I mean, I was thinking, it was funny. I was walking in the back of the building during a break, and I saw one of our coworkers here, and I'm like, well, she's got a nickname. It's a riff off her last name or maiden name.
Oh, right.
So Pickle
is
back there, and
she's
awesome.
She's like the only one.
She's great, right. But outside of that, do I know any women that have a nickname? That isn't some just variation or a shortening of their own name.
Right.
And I don't think I do. Like, guys give each other nicknames, and they last forever.
Right.
And there are some funny-ass nicknames out there. And I wonder if anybody wants to admit what their funny-ass nickname is, as long as it's not vulgar.
Right.
Right? Let's be nice here. Or is there somebody, one of your friends that has a nickname that you love, that his nickname is what it is?
Mm-hmm.
248-539-9797 is a telephone number. This is because Cal Raleigh is called Big Dumper.
Right.
It's hysterical. Who else do you know that has a funny nickname? Again, not vulgar, but be funny.
No. Yeah.
We will take your text and take your calls next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Yeah, a couple things out there. Tigers have 75 games left in the regular season. And right now stand at 59 wins. The Vegas win totals just came out. The adjusted win totals came out. And for the Tigers, I think the adjusted win total was at 96 for the season, which compared to what was at the preseason, it's expected to be 13 more wins than what the preseason prediction was, which is the most in baseball, find that interesting to see that. But we did have some ticket texts coming in about who needs to step up the most which player needs to have the biggest impact in the second half. From my name, Texter, Spencer Torkelson has the biggest ceiling as far as contribution is concerned. Now, Torque has played 91 games this year. He's got 21 homers, 59 RBIs, 826 OPS. All very solid numbers for a guy who didn't have a position going into spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Can Torkelson be that guy? Should he be that guy? He could very well be the guy that has the big upside. And if Riley Green continues to have a great season, and if Torkelson ups his game, that combination at 3-4 in the lineup is really good.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If Torkelson just basically stays on pace, he'll end up with like 36, 37 home runs maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah. So who would have thought that going into the season?
Not many.
No.
No, because like I said, he didn't even have a position. They had already made their mind up that they were going to, they signed Gleyber Torres to play second base and Colt Keith was going to go play first base. Mm-hmm. So what was it going to leave for Torque? Platoon duty or
right.
Some DH duty? And yeah. he earned a spot. The Tiger, I think, needs to step up and have a huge second half for it to keep going well is Jack Flaherty. He needs to be more consistent for the rotation to succeed. That's Marlon and Walt Lake.
He needs to be able to go six innings.
I agree. I think all the starters have to look the second half of the season. They need to take some of the weight off the bullpen and pitch six innings. It's not asking a ton. I mean, no. I know baseball has changed, but has it changed that much?
No.
Unnamed Texter just says one name, Reese Olson. And maybe it's just thinking that somebody has to emerge as being that solid number two.
Correct.
And I think that Casey Mize has done a great job, but weren't expecting it to be Casey Mize.
Right.
My wife's nickname. My wife's nickname is Beef. Was given her by her oldest brother. She played D1 basketball at Oakland University and was their best player for 4 years. Shout out to Bethany Waterworth.
All right. Beef.
Beef. And and the last ticket texture on this topic says Will Vest is the one that has to be the guy to step it up in the second half. I think Will Vest pitched awfully well in the first half of the season up to this point. Maybe not his last outing or two, but otherwise has done just fine. We bring up the nickname topic because Big Dumper is the nickname for Cal Raleigh, and it's just flat out hysterical.
Yeah, but the good thing about him is people can just call him Dumper, okay?
Right.
Because it's like Pat Verbeek had the greatest nickname in the world.
Little ball of hate.
But nobody walked around him. Hi, little ball of hate.
Right.
Or like, what's his name? Nicholas Lidstrom, the perfect human. You know, he's walking down the street. Bill's like, "Hi, perfect human." So that's
right. It's different.
That's not really a nickname.
So Big Dumper is hysterical,
right?
And calling a guy Dumper in everyday parlance is great.
It's funny
to have somebody like that. Yeah. What's the guy in your group or girl in your group? Because that's the other question. Like, do women even have the nicknames? Right. That are actually bestowed upon them by other women.
My friend group and my college friends and people I grew up with, my wife and my mother always said, it's amazing. Nobody ever uses their first name. Usually just use their last name.
Right.
You know, Wolfen or whatever. So he's called Wolfie because Wolf is his last name. But one of my good friends growing up we called him Juice because his first name was Jay and he liked O.J. Simpson. So we called him Juice. This is way before the murder, obviously. Yes.
Thank you for clearing that up. Mm-hmm. I was worried about it.
Just make sure.
Let's go to Loudon. You're next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Loudon.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So growing up, I'm named after a character from the movie
Loudon
Vision Quest from the 19th. Yep, Loudon Swain.
Loudon Swain, yeah. It was great movie.
Great movie. Haven't seen it in a while. Got to rewatch it. But growing up, during like playing sports and stuff, like if I ever got my name called like from the announcers or anything, they'd always pronounce it Luden. So like around eighth grade, I think my dad came up with cough drop, or he definitely came up with it. But ever since then, I have been cough drop after Luden's cough drop.
I like it. I like it.
Very clever.
You know, the funny thing is when I looked at the screen, I saw the name Loudon. My first thought was Vision Quest and the character Loudon Swain. Great
tried
movie
to,
about wrestling.
I take after him as much as I could.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Loudon. The movie came out in the mid 80s. It is it's a movie that still holds up as an inspirational sports movie about high school wrestling. Pretty freaking good. I always liked the movie. And then the soundtrack to Vision Quest is amazing. Great soundtrack on that.
Okay.
Lunatic Fringe, the song by Red Ryder in that movie. That was well done. Christine, you're next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Christine.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Love the show. So day I was born, had my first baby picture taken, and I had my fist up, like my Dukes up. So my dad's been calling me Duke since day one,
and
I'm 47 years old. And to my nieces and nephews, I'm Aunt Duke. Like, my 5 and 7-year-old niece and nephew, I don't even know if they know my name is Christine. but growing up, teachers, like, sports articles in the newspaper would say Duke Edwards. So all my friends and family still call me Duke.
I like it. I like it a lot, Christine. Thank you very much. When I was in high school, one of the guys I played football with had gotten into a fight after a pickup football game that we were in, or during a pickup football game. And you get squared off for this one guy, and we're all excited because we're like, oh, he's a tough guy. We want to watch him win this fight. He ends up, instead, he doesn't throw a punch and gets hit 3 times in a row. And so we went with the ironic way. So we started calling him Dukes
because
he didn't put the Dukes up. Great guy. I haven't seen him in forever, but it was a loving nickname. Nobody faulted him for it.
Right.
We just kind of think we'll call you Dukes. Garrett is next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen? Y'all all right?
Yeah. How are you doing?
Not bad. Not bad. Well, so mine is ERK or URK. It's short for Urkel.
Right.
I got that in college. A gentleman just happened to call me that, and then for some odd reason, I look like him, so it kind of stuck. So even to this day, you know, my frat brothers, there's 11 of them, and they still call me that. And here in the city, I may have about 4 more names. my name is Garrett Morris. M-O-R-S-E, M-O-R-R-I-S.
Like, right, not the Saturday Night Live guy, right.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of that over the years.
And people start calling you Chico Escuela or something like that. And...
Yeah, so.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Garrett. We appreciate it. Urkel, that works.
Mm-hmm.
Some ticket text coming in. My name is Isaac, and all of my friends shortened it to Sack or Zach from Rochester. Guy's calling another guy Sack. That's funny. That's always funny.
Yes, it is.
My nickname is Red because I have red hair. That's from Kim in Sterling Heights.
Okay.
Trust you.
Yeah.
Real name is Lance. Nickname is Spear.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my best friends is a retired police officer and Marine. I was introduced to him with the name Law Dog. Didn't even know his actual name for months. That's for Mike. Just start calling the dude Law Dog. What's up, Law Dog? What's his name? I don't know. I call him Law Dog. This works. My grandfather, who emigrated to this country from Sweden, could not pronounce my father's name. My dad's name was Hugh. It wasn't his father. It was my mom's father.
Right.
So when my mom started dating my dad, would bring him over by the house, and my grandfather could not pronounce Hugh. So we just called him Big Guy. That was the big guy for the rest of his, you know, I think he lived 30 some years or so after they had started dating. It was always the big guy. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Let's go and pick up Doug in White Lake. Doug, welcome to 97 on the Ticket. Hey, Doug.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it.
Sure. You
guys got a great show.
Thank you.
2 answers to the questions. Parker Meadows definitely has to go. Sent him down to AAA. The other thing, when I played Pee Wee hockey years and years ago, my name was Douglas, right?
Yeah.
And they shortened it to Diggin' Dugan. So that's what they shortened my name to, Diggin' Dugan.
You're not really shortening it if your name is Doug.
Yeah, well, Dugan. Short for Doug. Dugan.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. As far as Parker Meadows is concerned,
we said this yesterday.
Yeah, we asked the question, do the Tigers have a Parker Meadows problem? And I'm not sure how long you give Parker Meadows after the All-Star break to get it going, but...
You give him 2 series.
Well, here's what I look at. They've got 2 weeks until the trade deadline, or, you know, it's now 16 days till the trade deadline. It'll be 2 weeks, I think, to the day when the Tigers start playing baseball again, or just around there. So he gets to that point. I'm not saying they're going to trade for an outfielder, because I think they have plenty of solutions in-house. But what I am saying is they're going to trade for somebody else. And when they trade for somebody else, not necessarily an outfielder, but they're going to have to find a roster spot on the actual team. So when they do that, someone has to get sent down. He's going to have to pick up.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, significantly. I mean, he's your guy that has the most to give, and I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. Because if he's back to being what he was in the second half of last year, that's an all-star player.
Pretty much.
In every facet of the game.
Yeah.
With the elite speed, the elite defensive abilities, and then, I mean, he hit 300 in the second half last year. That would be great. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. You want to come up with your crazy nicknames, anything close to Big Dumper. We're not looking for derogatory nicknames. Please keep it clean. You can text us at 248-539-9797 or call us at the same number. And we also asked the question, do women have nicknames? Do women give each other nicknames?
Yeah.
So and does it only stay in the circle of women so that if guys are around you, you keep quiet about it. Yeah. You don't say anything.
We've had two women with nicknames who called up, but they were given to them by their fathers.
Yeah, we had Dukes, and what was the other
Beef.
One? Beef. It's still funny.
Yeah.
There it is! 97.1, the ticket.